Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
And welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and I am happy to be with you again today to talk about books. I mentioned at the end of the last episode that I thought I might try to talk about some science fiction this episode because, as I've said numerous times, I have steered clear of science fiction for a long time, and I am re-exploring it, rediscovering it, if you will, since starting this podcast, first with Curtis C. Chen and his Kangaroo series, and then more recently with J.D. Sanderson's A Footstep Echo. And so I started thinking, okay, I steered clear of science fiction as a kid, and I've talked about how the cover of A Wrinkle in Time scared me with the alien face on it. So I was trying to think, okay, did I read any science fiction as a kid that I'm just blanking on? And have I read, you know, I've started reading a little bit more as an adult, so I was trying to determine what science fiction I've actually read in my life. And as I was going through some lists on the internet of, you know, the top children's science fiction, top young adult science fiction, etc., I realized that, hey, yes, in fact, I have read a little bit more science fiction than I thought I had. First off, in my adult years, I have read young adult dystopian series, and I always forget, maybe not forget, maybe it's just a blank space in my brain, I don't know, that dystopian really is science fiction because it's not fantasy, but, you know, often in a futuristic setting, etc. So, hey, look, I've read The Hunger Games, I've read Veronica Roth's Divergent, more recently I've talked about Veronica Roth's Carve the Mark and The Fates Divide, which are also science fiction. So I think the disconnect in my brain comes from that whole space opera science fiction genre, where I stopped reading science fiction set in space, which is crazy because, again, I love Star Trek, I love Star Wars, but I tended to steer clear of books set in space. So I thought, hey, I'm going to explore this science fiction genre a little bit here with you today and see just what is out there that I have read, that I would like to read, that surprised me, that, you know, just doing a little exploration here. Seems very space opera-y, science fiction-y, doing some exploring. We'll boldly go where many, many people have gone before, just apparently not me. So, relying on the trusty internet, I did a search for top science fiction books, and one of the first things that popped up was a list of 100 science fiction books chosen by listeners of NPR. And as a lover of NPR, I thought, yes, let's go check this out. It is actually a combination of science fiction and fantasy, which seems a little bit like cheating to me because I was looking specifically for science fiction, not fantasy. The very first one that pops up, number one, is Lord of the Rings, which to me is fantasy, not science fiction. At any rate, as I was going through it, I thought, oh, you know, I did read science fiction in high school. I was, you know, in high school English, we read things like Fahrenheit 451 and 1984, Animal Farm, you know, those kind of futuristic dystopian novels. And so, again, I probably wasn't thinking science fiction at the time because space. But I remember not hating those novels in high school, but not particularly enjoying them. There were things that I would have much rather read. Dystopian tends to be a little dark, a little dreary. And since they weren't this newer crop of kind of young adult dystopian novels where you've got maybe a young adult hero or heroine that you can really root for, I don't remember really getting into those types of books. At any rate, I was excited that I could add that to my science fiction have read list. A few other things that popped up, of course, Hunger Games, Divergent, which I've already mentioned, and then The Maze Runner, which I don't believe I've talked about on this podcast, the Maze Runner series. So I've read all of those books, and I can add that to my science fiction. Again, not in space, but definitely has some science fiction elements to it. But again, more dystopian. So I am definitely noticing a trend in my science fiction reading. Definitely more on the dystopian side, less on the space opera side. And if I am missing other kinds of science fiction that are out there, please let me know, because I don't want to just be relegating science fiction to nothing but dystopian and space opera, because I'm sure that there's got to be something else out there. I am just really getting my feet wet and figuring out this whole genre that I have ignored for far too long. So in looking at this top 100 books from NPR, top 100 science fiction books from NPR, and kind of weeding out the ones that I think of as fantasy, there were a couple on there that I had read. Like I said, Fahrenheit 451, Brave New World, those types of dystopian novels. Then I realized Flowers for Algernon I read junior high, high school, somewhere in there. I don't remember a thing about it except that there was a mouse, and I don't think I hated it, which, you know, so I may have to go and reread that. I hadn't realized that C.S. Lewis has, in addition to The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, also wrote a space trilogy, which I had never heard of, and I'm wondering why I had never heard of it. So I'm intrigued by that. I actually want to give you a little bit of that description if I can find it again. Philologist, Edwin Ransom travels to Mars and Venus and makes a series of dramatic discoveries about Earth's place in the solar system and the nature of a threat it unwittingly faces. So, C.S. Lewis, a space trilogy, didn't know that I was very familiar with, obviously, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, but didn't realize there was a space trilogy, and going to Mars and Venus, which, as you know, I would have avoided. So that's maybe, I mean, I didn't avoid it because I'd never heard of it. I'm feeling very silly now. I do recall in high school reading the first book in the Thrawn trilogy, which is it's a book that takes place, it's a Star Wars book. It takes place 5 years after the ending of Return of the Jedi. I remember reading the first one, but not continuing on. And I don't know if I didn't go find the next book, or if my library didn't have it, or I remember enjoying it. I mean, I remember because I am a Star Wars fan, so I was willing to set aside my I don't read science fiction set in space for that. That's by Timothy Zahn, in case you were curious. I actually listened to the Thrawn trilogy on audiobook a couple of years ago. My husband is a huge Star Wars fan. He has, I don't even know how many of the Star Wars books that have been written, you know, the prequels and the ones that are written that take place after the movies. I think in high school, part of me was like, no, this isn't the movie. I don't want to move forward. I just want what I know in terms of Star Wars. That was part of why I didn't continue. I actually enjoyed them a lot as an adult. Was able to set aside some of those teenager, I don't want to read this, it's not the movie, blah, 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 kind of things, and enjoy it for what it was, which was a continuation of a story that I liked, and now it makes I'm glad that I listened to them because my husband, again, the giant Star Wars fan, also watches Star Wars Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, and in Star Wars Rebels, Thrawn, the character Thrawn, has shown up, and I believe the character of Thrawn will be making an appearance in the next Star Wars movie, so it's good to have some basis for that. I could be wrong, but I think I saw that somewhere. Yeah, so it turns out that I have a little bit of science fiction in my system. Number 65 on the list is I Am Legend by Richard Matheson. I read that probably 10 years ago. My dad recommended it, and that's more of a short story or a novella length than a full length novel. And it has vampires, so it could be kind of in the fantasy genre, but it's also, there's a lone human survivor, so dystopian again. And, you know, with dystopian, you've got often technology that wouldn't exist in fantasy, which tends to be more toward magic. And then also on this list, number 70, The Time Traveler's Wife. I read that and, oh, didn't like it. It was too much. It was just too much for me. So much, sadness in that book. I didn't hate it, but it didn't leave me with a happy feeling, which is, you know, I often like my books to leave me with a happy feeling, even though that not all books do that. So definitely not a book that you read to just escape and have a happily ever after. You gotta go into it knowing there's going to be some emotional trauma from that book. I see that it is time to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking more about science fiction, probably more of the dystopian side, but a little more on the science fiction side of things. You are listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, where I am speaking not terribly eloquently about science fiction books because it's something that I want to challenge myself a little bit more to read more of. So I have been looking at lists and discovering that I have, in fact, read some science fiction, and also discovering that there are some science fiction books out there that I really want to actually read. I mentioned before the break, C.S. Lewis's Space Trilogy. I'm going to see if I can find that and give it a shot. If you've read it, let me know. Let me know what you thought. I'm going to devote this section of the episode to some of those dystopian series that I have read. I haven't done a whole episode on like The Hunger Games or Maze Runner or Divergent. Talked a little bit about Divergent when I talked about Veronica Roth's newer series, Carve the Mark and The Fates Divide. Hunger Games, if you somehow aren't familiar with The Hunger Games, it is a dystopian novel set in the U.S., but after there has been some terrible tragedy. And so the United States has been divided up into 13 districts. And District 1 is the wealthy district where everything, the government is such as it is, and they control all the other districts. And part of the way they control all the other districts is by the Hunger Games. So once a year, each district has a lottery to determine, or to choose one male and one female child from each district to go to the Capitol and, the Capitol and compete in the Hunger Games, which are games to the death. So here's the thing. I really enjoyed this trilogy when I finally got into it. I chose to read it at a really complicated time in my life. I had just moved from Montana to California for the second time. I had done that before for grad school, and I was in that transitional phase. It always takes me a while to settle into a new place. I tend to be on the introverted scale, and so it always takes me a bit to get used to a new place. But at any rate, a friend of mine, a coworker, said that my first week that I was here, that I was back in California, said he needed to go pick up the newest Hunger Games book for his teenage son. And I couldn't believe I hadn't heard of it, first off. So I asked him about it and decided, yes, I was going to check that out. So it took me a few months to get around to reading it. I think I must have started reading it around December-ish because I was flying home to Montana for Christmas. So yeah, I must have started reading it. It had been a rough few months of transition. I was homesick. I was having some issues, right? And so reading about children murdering one another in these Hunger Games, it took me so long to get through the first 100 pages. I just slogged through it. And my boyfriend at the time, who's now my husband, said, I can tell you're not liking that book. And I was like, why? He said, because you have been on the same first part of the book forever. I never see you take that long on a book. And he was right. I really struggled with it. Once I finally got over that first 100 pages, I got sucked in and I just devoured the entire trilogy. There are 3 books. Still to this day, not 100% sure what I think about the ending. It has quite a lengthy epilogue, which if you're a regular listener, you know that I love epilogues. I love finding out the after stuff and finding out what happened to characters. Before the epilogue, though, I felt a little like, that sort of wrapped up a lot quicker than I expected it to, or not in the way that I expected it to. But I devoured them once I got over that initial, everything's weird in my life. I can't read this book. It wasn't the book's fault. It was me. You know, you always bring your own perspectives and you always bring your own life into the book that you're reading. So I've since reread the trilogy at least once, possibly twice, and didn't have that trouble. Of course, I knew at that point rereading what was going to happen. So that was a lot easier to jump into. The other series that I'll talk about in this section of the episode is the Maze Runner series, and that's by James Dashner. This is another series that was introduced to me by my father, who introduces me to so many books of this type. It, again, is a dystopian. I think I was home probably again for Christmas or some other vacation and always looking for something to read. So my dad said, here, read this. He had the first couple. And so I started reading them and then have read the entire series. And there's a couple of prequels. There are also a few movies that they've done. The Hunger Games, they've also done 4 movies. They split the third one into 2 movies. I really, really, really hated the movies. But this isn't the movie podcast, so I'm not going to bore you with why I hated the movies, but did not like the movies whatsoever. So if you've seen the movies and you love them, that's cool. I'm not going to argue with you. I don't know if you see the movie and haven't read the book. Maybe that makes a difference. I don't know. There are a couple of prequels to this series, so you get to find out a little bit more of what happens before The Maze Runner. I will give you a little bit of a description on The Maze Runner in case you haven't heard of it or haven't read it. Here is the description of the first one in the series, which is called The Maze Runner. If you ain't scared, you ain't human. When Thomas wakes up in the lift, the only thing he can remember is his name. He's surrounded by strangers, boys whose memories are also gone. Nice to meet you, Shank. Welcome to the Glade. Outside the towering stone walls that surround the glade is a limitless, ever-changing maze. It's the only way out, and no one's ever made it through alive. Everything is going to change. Then a girl arrives, the first girl ever, and the message she delivers is terrifying. Remember, survive, run. So you've got these young males in this book. We start with Thomas, who wakes up, as it says, in the lift. He's taken into what they call the glade, surrounded by other boys who arrived in the same way over various periods of time in the last few years. They are in a glade that is surrounded by a maze. The maze is the only way out, but no one has ever made it through the maze, and they have what they call maze runners who try to map the maze, which seems to change. So it turns out, I don't want to give too much away, but you've already read it or you've seen the movies. This is all kind of a big giant experiment that is taking place post-apocalyptic again. And the whole series then takes, the whole series explores what that experiment is, how it got started, why it got started, what they were trying to accomplish, how things went either the way they thought they would or completely not the way they thought they would. And so here's the thing about these dystopian young adult novels, I think, that I like. There is technology because they are set in a future. Usually it's a devastated future, but there's still technology left over or invented in this time period, but that's not the focus. So my brain doesn't immediately say, oh, science! But there's these young adult main characters who face huge, seemingly insurmountable odds in these situations, and they have to survive. And that is, to me, what I love about these types of young adult dystopian novels. I love watching them work things out, figuring out relationships, doing all those things. So for me, it's always about, as I've said before, it's always about the relationships in the book. It's always how people figure things out, etc. And I think that's why I really like this type of science fiction, the young adult dystopian genre. The Maze Runner, the original trilogy, the ending, I wasn't quite so sure what I think about. But when I say that, it's also a good thing, because when I'm not quite sure what I think about it, it means I'm still thinking about it. So even after I've finished a series, then I am still thinking, I wonder how I would have done that differently, or I wonder how I feel like that should have ended. There are two prequels to the Maze Runner series. The first one felt like almost a standalone. You could have read it, and I feel like we didn't fully complete that one. Like, it didn't continue on. Then the next one took place pretty much right before the Maze Runner started, and the first one felt a little disconnected to me, but still gave you some insight into the world before the books of the Maze Runner. We are going to take our second break of the podcast, and when we come back, we are going to talk about a science fiction book that I actually read as a child. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, where I am wandering my way through science fiction and trying to, I don't know if I'm trying to talk myself into it, trying to talk myself out of it. I'm definitely trying to talk myself into it. I always like to read things that I haven't read and explore genres that I don't always focus on. So I said before the break that I was going to talk about a science fiction book that I actually read as a child. And again, I was looking up lists of, this time I looked up best science fiction, top science fiction books for children. And one thing that popped up was it's a list of 25 best science fiction books. Number one on this list is A Wrinkle in Time, which we aren't going to talk about how I didn't read that as a child. Number three is The Little Prince, which I have not read and need to put it on my list because I've heard great things about it. Number five, Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator. I did read that as a child. Hey, look, I read science fiction as a kid. Probably would have, I read a lot of Roald Dahl and I wouldn't have necessarily thought of, I would have put him more in the fantasy category as a kid. But in The Great Glass Elevator, they do end up going to space. So, hey, it is science fiction. That's not the one that I was going to talk about, though. The one that I saw on the list and went, hey, I read that, is number nine on this list. And it is Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nim. Yes, of course, once I started thinking about it, of course that is science fiction. And I loved that book as a kid. There is also a movie, not of the same name, because it's Mrs. Brisby, I believe. It's just The Rats of Nim, the movie, and they call her Mrs. Brisby. Let me give you the description, just in case you haven't seen the movie or read the book. Some extraordinary rats come to the aid of a mouse family in this Newbery Medal Award-winning classic by notable children's author Robert C. O'Brien. Mrs. Frisbee, a widowed mouse with four small children, is faced with a terrible problem. She must move her family to their summer quarters immediately or face almost certain death. But her youngest son, Timothy, lies ill with pneumonia and must not be moved. Fortunately, she encounters the Rats of Nim, an extraordinary breed of highly intelligent creatures who come up with a brilliant solution to her dilemma, and Mrs. Frisbee, in turn, renders them a great service. So, of course, this is science fiction because the Rats of Nim were laboratory rats who had been experimented on and developed incredible intelligence. It managed to escape from Nim, and they are now living in this incredible built complex, maybe, under the rose bush at the farmer's house. They are even stealing electricity. So there's just some incredible things going on with the rats after they escape. Then you have Mrs. Frisbee. So you've got the incredibly intelligent rats, and then you've got the just sort of everyday regular animals, Mrs. Frisbee being one of them. They have to move to their summer quarters because the planting is coming, which means the farmer will bring the tractor out and till up the ground, and you don't want to be around when that happens. But Timothy is sick and can't be moved, so she is one of those fierce mamas in this story, and she faces challenges that she never expected herself to face, that she never would have said that she was capable of facing. But because her son is sick and she has to find a solution, she ends up working with the Rats of Nim. That's N-I-M-H, just in case you're wondering. It's an acronym. And I think as a kid, I probably just associated this, you know, talking animals, more fantasy, right? And I really don't know that I paid much attention to cat genres as a kid. I just kind of read what I wanted to read, with the exception of scary things in space and aliens. So I didn't think about this as a kid as being science fiction, but of course it is. I also remember watching this movie after I'd read the book, and again, not the movie podcast, but this was the first time that I had one of the rat characters in the movie, which is animated, of course, says the word damn. And I was so shocked that in an animated G-rated movie, one of the characters said damn. I was, yeah, floored. I don't remember how old I was the first time I saw it, or clearly I wasn't very old, but because I was shocked by that terrible, terrible curse word in a G-rated movie from a rat to a mouse. Anyway, I love this book. I actually now want to reread it. I learned what the one of the pieces of advice that the that Mrs. Frisbee is given is that she has to move her house to the Lee side, to a Lee, and I had no idea what that meant. So I actually learned about that phrase and what it meant and where it came from. I remember having to look it up because my parents may have explained it a little bit, but then they told me to go look in the dictionary and the encyclopedia. Yes, we had a set of encyclopedias. So I looked in both and learned something new, which is always cool. So I now want to reread Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nim. And as I said in the description, it is a Newbery Medal Award winner, which I haven't looked at that list for a long time. I should definitely check that out and see what else is there. Also on this list, number 13 is The City of Ember, Jean Duprau, which I have read and only vaguely remember. So I need to check that out again. Ender's Game, recently a movie. I want to read the book. The Giver by Lois Lowry, also a movie, also on my list of books that I need to read. So my TBR list is always, always, always ridiculously long and will never, ever be finished. But it is definitely getting longer and longer with lots more science fiction on it, which I am kind of excited about because I need to read more science fiction. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the Book Review podcast of meandering my way through science fiction. I hope that you will join me again next time. I'm going to move from science fiction to science, and I'll tell you more about that if you join me on Thursday. Thanks so much. Hope you're having a great week. Now go out there and get yourself lost in a good book.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.